Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Talking about tonight, the good, the bad, and the ugly, taking responsibility in the new black cooperative economy. We're excited. We've quite a show lined up for this evening. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
America, where chaos, confusion, and hatred reign supreme. But the rhythm plants the seeds of freedom. So we overcome with the rhythm. The drum beats.
The drum, calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Again, welcome to Dare to Win. This is the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of our people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and contribute to our wholeness. Join the conversation. Call 929-477-2789. Press the number one on the keypad. If you want to make a comment or ask a question, that'll raise your hand in the studio, and we'll take your call or your comment. If you want to join us via your computer, go to www.uslivingus.com. That's uslifting.com. Click Ulu Radio tab, and then click Listen Live. It'll get you into the broadcast. My name is Brother Kimbisi, and I'm your host for this evening's discussion. And joining us this evening is Sister Nanana, no stranger to our airwaves. She's also an Ulu board member who will be guiding us through a discussion tonight. Sister Nanana, please give our audience a welcome.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Brother Kimbisi. And as always, I am thrilled to be here and to have this opportunity to have a dialogue, to share some information. And I do want to just give you a heads up, Brother Kimbisi, that your volume is breaking up just a little bit. Don't know what's causing that, but just want to make sure you're aware.
Thank you, Sister Nanana. Let me don't know if that persists. The subject this evening sounds challenging and very thought-provoking. So let us start with some context or background around this topic of the good, the bad, the ugly, taking responsibility in the new black cooperative economy.
All right. Well, I'm chuckling to myself a little bit because I'm thinking to myself, yeah, there are probably listeners out there who are saying, now, what is this all about? This good, bad, and ugly. And so, as I start to, I have to precede giving a little history and a little context by letting listeners know. Some of us might remember, it was around, I believe, 1966, there was a Western, it was a Western theme film that was entitled The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, this film takes place post-Civil War, and it portrays three men in search of a fortune in gold that was somehow stolen from the Confederate government. I believe it was the Confederate government, and hidden in some mysterious location. Now, these three distinct personalities are, upon initial examination, all of them are capable, the good, the bad, and the ugly, are capable of finding the treasure. And they all display some unique traits as they go about that search. And so as I went through the process of thinking about how to get to the subject this evening, what I did was I have likened this scenario to our quest as African-descended people for economic growth and stability, specifically in the cooperative economic arena, and three unique sets of circumstances that I feel have impacted us and continue to have potential for impacting us as we wrestle to move toward complete economic freedom. So with that said, perhaps the best lead-in to this evening's topic is to review, first of all, what is meant by black cooperative economy, and then I'll go on from there to identify factors that are representative of capitalism and that address I'll address the three characteristics, the last part. So hopefully that sounds like a plan, Brother Kimbizi.
It does sound like a plan, so I'm excited. Let's jump right in this.
Okay, let's go for it. So to start out with, a black cooperative economy is a system that is designed, implemented, and maintained by African-descended people for their benefit, for the benefit of that specific community of people. Now, this system is based on ancient or traditional principles and values, collective ownership, and group or collective access to or use of the means of production, as well as group control of the distribution of goods and services. Now, additionally, this cooperative economy establishes and maintains industry standards and trade routes. It is a self-perpetuating system whereby the material wealth and the human resources, that is, both the labor and the monetary assets of African-descended people, are used and maintained specifically for the benefit of those people. Now, this description may sound a little bit repetitive, But I think it's important to emphasize that we build this black cooperative economy for ourselves and our future generations. That's what it's specifically for. Now, this is the type of economy that we, as Us Lifting Us members, are now working to establish for our future well-being. The goals are support and maintenance of the family, maintaining cultural identity, building generational wealth, and sharing of surplus value or profits through a democratic process.
You know, I'm so glad you're raising this conversation with us tonight. We haven't seen anything else. It's how inadequate the current economic system is when it's trying to deal with the coronavirus that we're in the midst of. They're busy trying to put people back to work. It's threatening the very health of the entire country. So go right ahead and help us really understand that what we are proposing is the building of an alternative economy.
And thank you for the points that you're making as well, Brother Kimbizi. And I think you're being very kind when you use the term inadequate. I mean, it's just totally the economic system that we have been exposed to is in no way meeting the needs of those who have been putting time and energy into it, none at all. And you're still breaking up a bit, Brother
okay.
Kimbizi, just so that you'll know. Yeah. So now the black cooperative economy is quite different from the capitalistic economy, and that's what you and I were just sharing about, Brother Kimbizi. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. Capitalism is the system that we have been positioned to support by providing our labor and our intellectual capabilities either for free, which is what we were forced to do via slavery, or for minimal benefit, which is what happens when we are employees, because we have no share of the profit. We are not in any way owners. So quite frankly, capitalism is so embedded in our psyches that some of us find it difficult to envision any other way of interacting in commerce other than the path that's been put before us. Now, the basic principles or values of a capitalistic economy, pay attention to this: individualism, materialism, immediate gratification, violent domination of others, and last but very importantly, maintenance of an underclass. You must have an underclass of people in order for the capitalistic system to work. Now, the underclass, these are known as employees who do not share in the profits, which means that they do not own their labor. And so for some of us, this is a very stark reality to be faced with, that when we are quote-unquote employees, but we don't have an opportunity for ownership, that we're in that underclass position. Now, this country was constructed on the linked or the joined models of capitalism and racism, both of which have been perpetuated through slavery and various legal structures to maintain the system up until now. Currently, we are witnessing the crumbling and the eroding of capitalism and its supporting mechanisms. Brother Kimbizi, you were just commenting on that. Now, this is not going to change overnight, but people are waking up to the harsh reality of capitalism and racism working hand in hand, that these two are, they're two sides of the same coin. And so people are starting to take action to bring about change. This is one of the things that is fueling a lot of the protests that we're seeing, and even some of the things that are starting to happen with various changes in legislation or proposals for changes in various types of legislation. So now with that definition as a starting point, we can move on and talk about how responsibility plays a key role in the cooperative model, and talk about the three aspects that I mentioned earlier, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So hopefully
just before we go there, Sister Nana,
that definition helps. Yes.
It does, quite a bit. And I was going to say, just before we go there, I just wanted you to kind of reemphasize, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're making the statement that capitalism and racism are joined together, so that even as this country tries to get its arms around and wrestle with all of these expressions of racism, taking down of the Confederate monuments, all of the various ways that racism is destroying black people. If I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that the only way we can really tackle and address racism, we also have to, at the same time, have to expose that this is what capitalism does.
Exactly. Thank you so much for adding your additional explanation around that. They work hand in hand. And I think we just have to get very clear that as long as we have an economic system that is modeled after capitalism, I think we're kind of biting off our nose to spite our face, so to speak. We're really not doing significant change with racism, because racism helps to support capitalism. And until such time that the workers have the opportunity to also be owners, we're still back in the same position. People must have the option and the ability to own their labor and to take responsibility for ownership of their labor, which means their physical labor as well as their intellectual labor. So, yes, you're right on target with that.
That's quite a bit. Well, and so you say now we are ready to talk about the role that responsibility plays in this, in building this cooperative economic model. And you want to talk mm-hmm. about three aspects earlier, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Why don't we – we don't have any callers just yet. Why don't we squeeze our first break in right here, and then when we come back, then we can talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, if that's okay.
That sounds good to me. Thank you.
Okay, so the good, the bad, and the ugly. Looking for.
Yes, and your volume is coming through a lot clearer now.
Am I clearer now?
Yes.
Okay, we solved one problem. now we got to get to this other problem. Our good friend, here we go. Here we go. So we're going to take a quick break, family, and don't go away. We'll be right back on the other side of the break, and we'll get into our discussion about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Thank you. Superman.
Can you dig it?
And we're back. Feels like we're taking a trip down memory lane, Sister Nanana.
well,
we want to welcome everyone back to Dare to Win's broadcast tonight. We're having a little fun with our history. And we want to invite you to call in and ask questions or make a comment. To call in, the number is 929-477-2789. Again, 929-477-2789. Dial that number and then press number 1 on your keypad. That will raise your hand in the studio, and we'll open the line and hear your comment or respond to your question. Sister Nanana, before we went to break, we said when we came back on the other side of the break, we would get into the good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's continue the conversation and let you unpack that for us.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. And yes, you know, we started out by sharing some basic foundational information about differences between capitalism and cooperative economics, and just trying to add some clarity around the capitalistic system and how it works hand in hand with racism. So thank you for the opportunity to continue, Brother Kambizi. And so let's get more into the heart of the matter in terms of talking about what responsibility looks like in the cooperative environment, as well as the three characteristics that I mentioned earlier. Now, as participants in capitalism, which we all have been and to a certain extent continue to be, we don't have to really be responsible for anything other than showing up on time at whatever place that we're employed at and doing what it is that we have been told to do and that we're paid to do. In other words, whatever is in your job description, whatever your job function is, that's what you do. So you go to work, you do that, and you leave. And there's not necessarily any significance around responsibility associated with that. We have little or no investment, monetarily or otherwise, in the business entities that employ us. However, most of us would find ourselves struggling if we were not employed. So we're almost kind of in a little bit of a catch-22. We have minimal impact on the policy or operating decisions that are made by the companies that we work for. This is not to discredit the impact or the importance of unions and fair labor laws and practices. Certainly they have an impact and they play an important role. However, for all practical intents and purposes, the harsh reality is that we are basically wage slaves, okay? Our employers do not, unless somehow forced or negotiated into a corner, they do not support our values and our goals. Okay, so the sole goal of employers in a capitalistic environment is profit. And we have to be clear about that. There isn't, no matter what other kind of window dressing they put around it, that's the bottom line. So in these environments, we have been trained not to demonstrate any impactful or meaningful level of responsibility. We have been encouraged and sometimes even rewarded if we display behaviors that, I'm going to start out talking about the good, if we display behaviors that I place in the category of being the good employee or the good Negro, Okay, so the good is exemplified by behaviors and thought patterns that support things like staying on course, not rocking the boat, don't be uppity. In other words, knowing our place and staying in that prescribed place. Without realizing it, we have succumbed to social engineering by being an employee in the capitalistic environment. Now, oftentimes, our places of employment are prime environments for fostering the good behaviors. Okay? So, viewing this situation on a larger scale, it's my opinion that capitalism is, in fact, the seed bed for perpetuating the good, because the good is what feeds capitalism. I hope I'm making sense. It also discourages any truly responsible behaviors, because responsibility involves taking an active and an impactful role in decision making. And this would be detrimental to most of our employers. They really don't want us involved in that level of decision making. So even when employee input is sought by the employer and sometimes utilized, the employee is not adequately compensated for those contributions. Our intellectual abilities that manifest into ideas, that becomes the property of the employer. And many of us have had to deal with the harsh reality that when we put our suggestion in the suggestion box and the employer takes that suggestion and starts to use it in order to benefit and to assist the process, the productivity, the whatever in that workplace, that idea no longer belongs to us. Because you signed that contract as an employee when you started working, it becomes their property. I'm sorry, I think you were trying to make
I was just going to agree with what you said. I remember I worked for Whole Foods for a number of years, and right there in the handbook it said, you know, if you make a contribution or create something that the company uses, it becomes the property of the company. And mm-hmm. I read it took me two or three times looking at that to say, really? And so you're right. That's just how these corporations function. We don't realize how much we give over when we accept the contracts and we work for these corporations and businesses. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Doctor.
No, that's okay. We're having a dialogue. And so even if you are compensated for it, you can be rest assured that whatever compensation you receive for your idea is a mere pittance in terms of the bottom line benefit that the employer is receiving from implementing your idea. Okay? Because if it wasn't going to be largely beneficial for them, they would not even acknowledge it. So we really have to start dealing very realistically with our intellectual abilities, our intellectual property, as well as our actual physical labor and labor in other terms also. So once again, just going back to the good, starting out with what the good looks like. The good looks like basically, you know, keeping your nose to the grindstone, keeping your nose clean, as they say, keeping your head down and just doing whatever you need to do on a daily basis in response to your job, and not looking from side to side, and also not demonstrating any real responsibility. Because when you demonstrate real responsibility, what you're talking about is you're talking about taking responsibility for the overall product and services, and the quality of those products and services, so on and so forth. And employers really don't want you to do that.
There's one other point that you're making there. Because our work takes up so much of our time on a weekly basis, we spend 40 hours in the places where we work. And those habits that get cultivated in the work environment, they tend to bleed over into other aspects of our lives. So if in the place where we are contributing to the material welfare of the society, if we don't act responsibly in that environment, it tends to also cause us not to act responsibility in other environments. So it has a dual kind of negative impact on our psyche. And so you're absolutely right. This is behavior. While they claim it as being good, it can be very destructive for us as beings in terms of how we exercise our agency in other aspects of our lives.
And I really appreciate the additional input that you've provided around that. And what that says to me, Brother Kimbizi, is that to a great extent, we have been trained to be robots, and we've been trained basically not to think. And we've been trained to not respond in a way that is natural and normal for us, and that is to take responsibility for the care and the maintenance of whatever environment that we're in. And yes, it does bleed over. And sometimes we take that quote unquote, that good behavior, and it manifests itself in other arenas of our lives. I think for sure. And so we're being given the opportunity as things start to really shift now, we're given the opportunity to take a serious look in the mirror and to start thinking and doing some things differently, for sure, definitely.
Absolutely.
So,
I'm thinking in so many of the states. I'm here in Georgia. You're in Colorado. But just before the coronavirus was being curbed, so to speak, because of capitalism, we were rushed back into opening these states up. And so now we're getting all of these resurgence of the coronavirus, and because we have been conditioned not to act responsibly, now we find ourselves in a situation where our communities are being overrun by the virus, and the so-called leaders are standing around twiddling their thumbs. And it's the first time I can remember in my lifetime where there was no national kind of understanding of how we're going to respond in this crisis. It's every person for themselves, and it's clearly not working.
Very good example. Very good example. Yeah. Because when you've been trained not to think, you're looking for someone else to point the way, and that clearly is not happening. Clearly is not happening. So let me put it this way. We have a lot of growth opportunities. We have a lot of growth opportunities.
Yes,
and so I look forward to us taking advantage of those, for sure. Definitely. So I think, you know, probably enough said about the good and how those good behaviors are fostered and fed and how they're nurtured by capitalism. So now I'm going to go on and talk about the ugly. Okay? I'm going to skip now to the ugly, because my take on it is that ugly is actually an appendage to or a supporting element of good. Ugly, just as good, is fed, fostered, and encouraged by capitalism. Okay? So ugly is the total loss of or denial of African culture. It is a void that exists in an undefinable space. It is accentuated by individualism and materialism. It is just a total void. The only culture that exists in the void is associated with profit once again. So corporate America is, in my opinion, the very height of the ugly. It's a very high risk environment for us because we run the risk of succumbing to the ugly every time we report to work in one of these structures or one of these environments. We sometimes go into a state of denial, or we put on the veil of ugly just to survive another day of promoting capitalism. Now, we, in fact, are not the ugly. However, every one of us at some point in time has probably worn that mask of ugly because we have been forcibly thrust into capitalism without knowing about or having access to an option or a method for doing otherwise. Now, ULU, Us Lifting Us, has the roadmap and the exact method to guide us out of the pit of ugly. Okay, and it's called Ujamaa, or family-centered economics. It can also be referred to and sometimes called Black cooperative economics. Cooperative economics is not just a way for us to make money and gain financial stability. Cooperative economics is the survival mechanism for our psyches. And it is the soil for rebirthing and growing healthy African culture. So this is my perception around the ugly, and the way that I see that we move beyond that is that we use the path and the route that Us Lifting Us is making available. Okay. So I want to move on to talk about the bad, but I want to give you an opportunity, Brother Kimbizi, to see if you have a thought or a comment about the ugly before I move on to the bad.
I've got a ton of thoughts, but if we go there, we won't get to the bad. But I do hope that our listeners paid close attention to that last segment, because you said so much in terms of how we maintain our psychic well-being and get back to our African mind. So thank you for that. But certainly proceed on to talking about the bad.
All righty. Okay, so the cooperative economy, and particularly the Black cooperative economy, this is the place where the bad are welcomed and where the bad can flourish. Okay, so we all get an opportunity to show up and show out when we are within the auspices of a Black cooperative economy. We can and we should be bad because we are now in our own house when we are practicing Black cooperative economics. When we become a part of the ULU family, which is done by joining and purchasing units, we are then in our house. And we call the shots in terms of what goes on in our house, what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. So not too long ago, in our slang or our colloquial language, bad actually meant good. It meant awesome. It meant fantastic. It meant bold. It meant, yeah, this is all great. It's all good. It meant having an attitude that said, yeah, you know, I am all that and a bag of chips. Okay? So that's the bad that I want to address now. I'm identifying bad behavior as being absolutely and without a doubt essential to our economic growth. Bad behavior is welcomed, it is encouraged, and it's nourished in a cooperative economic environment because that behavior entails stepping up and taking on a role of contributing, which means embracing and being responsible for what goes on in our house. So it's the bad that comes to the surface when an ULU member steps up and volunteers to work on a committee. That's one of the best examples that I can give you of showing up for real bad behavior when someone says, you know what, I'm going to help make this happen. That's being bad. Now, starting in August, the Us Lifting Us Academy will open with online classes so we can educate ourselves on how ULU works and we can educate ourselves on cooperative economics. So I surmise that it's going to take some real bad behavior to sign up for these courses and to learn about this economic structure. Our history tells us that it has always been the show enough for real bad people. They had to be some bad sisters and brothers. They had to be real bad behaving. And those were the ones who pushed for our liberation and have been at the forefront of opening the doors for us. I mean, seriously, think about it. Think about some of the ones who have opened doors and who have led the way for us. These were people who were bad. So I'm going to stop now with saying, you know, I dare all of us that are listening to step up and be bad, to be bad real soon here in the future, and to step up and take on some responsibility and allow your talents to come to the forefront in a very useful and meaningful way to support ULU. So that's my perspective around the good, the bad, and the ugly.
You certainly have put this in perspective for us, and I certainly appreciate your using your flipping the script on our understanding of bad. I mean, and we culturally have always done this, but it's good to hear. It's refreshing to hear this as we're having this conversation in the economic arena. Family, if you are listening and enjoying the program, we invite you to call in and make comments or ask questions. The call-in number is 929-477-2789. If you're listening by computer, you know, go to usliftingus.com, click on ULU Radio, and then click on Listen Live. Sister Nanana, we have one caller. Let's go ahead and take this caller and get this comment, and then we'll proceed.
Sure. Sure.
Caller with the last four numbers, 5921. 5921, your line is open. Would you give us your name and where you're calling from and state your comment or ask your question?
Okay, thank you very much. This is Abdul Halim from Chester, PA.
How welcome, brother. Good to hear you.
Nice to hear you. I have to compliment Sister Nanana on that bad compliment. I've never heard no one put it like that. I've heard it once before said that we were like gangsters, he said. when we were going against the system. We were supposed to get a permit to do some work on the house, and when we didn't get the permit, he said, we like gangsters. We're going against the rules. So that was the the first time I heard it like that, we being bad. And the course should be coming up soon. I'm glad to hear that, too. Oh, that's basically my comment I wanted to put out there. That was very good. I liked it.
Sister Nanana, you want to respond?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much, brother, for your comment. I appreciate that. And I just sit here and kind of chuckle to myself and thinking to myself, you know what? We are known for flipping the script. And so as we step up and we take ownership of that, I judge that what we are going to realize is that we are in a moment in time right now with everything that's going on around us, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's the downturn in the economy, you know, all of the other things that are going on, but that we are at a moment in time right now where we have prime opportunity to be bold and to step out and to do what we know that needs to be done for us to care for ourselves and for us to start laying that pathway to make sure that our children are taken care of in the future, and to say, hey, you know what? We don't have to depend on what's been put before us in terms of an economic system. We can build our own economy, thank you, and that we will do an excellent job of it, and that it will be tailored specifically for our needs as a people. No one knows us any better than we know ourselves. So I think a lot of it has to do with attitude. And I think when we really embrace that attitude of saying, you know, we have everything that we need. We have all of the intelligence. We have the skill sets. We actually have wealth. And we can put that wealth to use when we do it collectively, when we pool it. As long as we try to do it as single individuals, we're going to be going around in a circle. But once we start to pool it and follow the path that Ulu has laid out for us, we're bound to be successful. And the door is open. The door has opened with all of these events that have occurred, whereby at first look, you might say to yourself, oh, this is awful, but it's not. This is opportunity, and we have to choose to see it that way.
With that said, sister, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back, family. we're back. A little summer madness cooling the game to go along with our summer badness. This is Brother Kimbezi, and I'm hosting this evening Sister Nanana, one of the board members of Us Lifting Us, and having just a fascinating conversation around the good, the bad, the ugly, and taking responsibility in the Black economic cooperative movement. Sister Nanana, just before we went to break, you were about ready to give us a summary, I think. So you've identified for us the behaviors that have kept us in bondage, and then you showed us the attitude, the behavior that puts us on the path to self-determination and empowerment, as you're talking about the Us Lifting Us economic cooperative model, family-centered economics. So what would you have our audience to understand in the time that we have remaining?
Thank you for the opportunity once again, Brother Kimbezi. My summary is to encourage all of us to be as bad as we can be, and to do this by demonstrating responsibility towards ourselves and our communities. Responsibility, that is to say, bad behavior, tough behavior, show enough bad behavior, can be demonstrated by joining ULU. You can access the website at www.usliftingus.com, complete the paperwork, and pay the $50 membership fee. Once you are a member, continue demonstrating responsibility by purchasing a unit. A unit is $1,000 for a share that does not have to be paid all at once. We do have a plan for doing that. And take an active role in your community. That is what makes the difference. That's when you are on the cutting edge, is when you step up and say, yes, I will. I will help take care of this. I will make this contribution of my time and my knowledge and my energy. Now, there are several working committees that we have at Us Lifting Us that could definitely use your talent. So be bad, be bold, be active. If you have questions, please email ULU at info@usliftingus.com. That's info@usliftingus.com, or call 404-592-2780. That's 404-592-2780. And be as bad as you want to be, and know that you're in the right place and that your badness is welcomed. Thank you. I appreciate all of you all.
And thank you, Sister Nanana, for just an amazing sharing with us tonight, breaking it down for us, the need, why we are in the shape that we're in, and then showing us the roadmap for how we move towards economic self-determination and put ourselves in the place where we are now controlling the economics of our community, which is to say we are controlling our communities. Because if we don't control the economics, then we really don't control the community at all. Family, mm-hmm. I'm sure you all have enjoyed sharing with Sister Nanana as much as I have. And she will be back next week. She's going to be leading a dialogue, a conversation with Brother Christopher X, who is with the Nation of Islam and leads the Denver Study Group. And they're going to be talking about Stop the Prison System Revolving Door. So make a note that you want to certainly join us next Thursday, 9 o'clock, same time, same bat station. And Sister Nanana will continue this whole work of political and economic education that helps us to understand the dynamics of the power relationships in our community and what we as African people of African ancestry, how we take responsibility in our communities and position ourselves to generate the wealth that is already within us and harness it, and then create the institutions that we can pass forward to our youth and our community in general. So, Sister Nanana, just again, thank you so much for sharing with the Ulu family tonight, and I hope the everyone has gained something of value from tonight's program. We hope that you will join us next Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, where we'll continue and go even further. Any other thoughts, Nanana, as we go out?
Be back.